Time I heard it was in Indonesia. I was doing a short-term missionary as a junior in the Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary. Our school had a team that went there, and there I heard the Indonesian singing the Indonesian version, and then we learned the English version. People need the Lord. Whether they are white or black or any color, educated or uneducated, rich or poor, they need the Lord. And all we need to do is to open up the newspapers and turn on the TV and we can see that. Maybe we're having the Thanksgiving turkey. But still, we are mindful of the fact that people need the Lord. It's not what we know that can help them. It's not what we say that can help them. It's Jesus Christ that has already paid the salvation that can really help them. Let's turn to the scripture for this morning. Matthew 28. 18 through 20. Would you turn to it and read it together? Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. One, two, three. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit guidance? This has happened several times in my personal experience. I know this time it happened again. When I was preparing for the text and I say, boy, it would be wonderful if we can get somebody to sing a solo on the People Need the Lord. But I don't know whether anybody knows how to sing it or whether that hymn is available. So I just leave it to the Lord. I said, that would be the perfect piece for this sermon. And sure enough, this morning we heard Margaret singing her beautiful voice, People Need the Lord. We're talking about this because this is the Southern Baptist calendar emphasis, mission. All major denominations have different emphasis on different parts of the year, and this part is mission. A mission can be divided into two, the Foreign Mission or International Mission Board and the North America Mission, which used to be called Home Mission Board. Home Mission Board, different states group together, they have an association and then they work together. Chinese is one of the mission under the Home Mission Board, North American Mission Board, now it's called. And the Foreign Mission, now it's called International Mission Board. There are some 2,500 or so, or maybe even more now, missionaries going to different parts of the world. And as individuals, we can participate in praying, in giving through the church. The church sets up a fund to be sent out to the International Mission Board. And when you think about it, if it wasn't the International Mission Board, if it wasn't because of the foreign missionaries, very few of us would become Christians, because some of us who were not born in this country, we in the Far East and Asia didn't get a chance to hear the gospel until the missionaries came. I myself became a fruit of the missionaries in Hong Kong. When the missionary came to Hong Kong to open schools, Puijing, and the Baptist College, Zhangwei Haoyun, and also our church, North Point Baptist Church, and there's the Kowloon Sing Zhangzhunwei, Jim Sa Joy Zhangzhunwei. All these churches opened up. These were all because of missionaries. I myself, when I came to this country, I studied engineering, and later on, I received a call, went into Golden Gate Baptist Seminary, and then joined a short-term missionary team to Indonesia twice. There made a real impression on me, hearing the situation of the lives in Indonesia. And today we are in the United States, and we hear the same situations. We hear about divorces, we hear about children being deserted, drug smuggling, all these things happening. People need the Lord. So when we look at this, we think about our responsibility. After Thanksgiving, a good way to respond to our God who has given us all these things, not only that we just say Thanksgiving, we just pay lip service, not only that we sing, but we also should use our action to show that we are giving thanks to God. If we go to college and our parents write us or call us and say, how's everything going? You say, I had cookies today, I had milk today, I had nap today. Well, you must be a kid in the kindergarten, first grade. But if you're in college, if every time you write your parents and you say, I had cookies today, I had ball games today, I had nap today, I had game time today, there's something wrong. And the college student write home saying, I need some money. And the parents say, okay, we'll send you some money, but how is school anyway? How's college? How do you like it? I had cookies today. How many of us are Christians here today? What do you tell your Lord? You say, I pray today. I have a job today. I'm giving you thanks. But what about what I asked you to do, Lord says? What did you ask me to do? I didn't know becoming a Christian has to do anything. I thought it's just enjoying everything God give us. Nice sunny weather in sunny California, Irvine. Got a good job, got a good car, got a good house, got a good family. What about south of the border here? All these mess of drug dealing and all these things going on, killing. What about Indonesia? What about India? What about Haiti? Oh, you mean I have to study chemistry, algebra, and physics and all these things? Yes, God has some demand on us also, the Great Commission. Great Commission teaches us that we need to spread the gospel. We need to share the gospel. So let us look at it. We're talking about a few points here. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, brothers, I beseech you to give your bodies as living sacrifice. It's no longer us that live, but Christ who lives in us, that live out the life for us. A college student doesn't just eat cookies, play ball games, play games, not just that. Man does not live by bread alone. There's something else that he must do, and that is to seek God's will, to spread the gospel. We have some good friends that are missionaries. One couple, they have five children. The man graduated from Stanford and then heard the call from God and went to Africa. It's been 20 years now he's been in Africa. Every few years he would come back and tell us about what's going on and so on, and his kids would grow up and go to college and so on, but the two of them is in Africa. Why? Is Africa better than Southern California, Orange County? I don't think so. They like the lifestyle there? I don't think so. They like the food there? I don't think so. I mean, I like Indonesia, but I don't like the food there. One time they treated us after an evangelistic meeting. Their style of meeting is a jam-packed, you know, about this size, but lots of windows. And each window you see two or three heads poking in because the place is jammed. So people have to jam in through the window and they've got their head in, and that's about it. And the meetings were long. I thought I'd talk long. I talk about an hour or so. But after that they said, "Preacher, would you preach some more?" I said, "Some more? That's the whole sermon." They said, "How about tomorrow's sermon?" I said, "Okay, I'll talk about tomorrow's sermon." They want four sermons because they're hungry for the words of God. Good thing our professor has told us to bring the whole binder of sermons there, so we just go into, after one day, just go to the next one and the next one. And after that, they have dinner. They sat us down there, and I said, "Boy, so many taoxi here." Black beans. But then I look at it, back then, my eyes were better than these eyes now that I have. I thought, "My goodness, the taoxi can move. They're flies." So you think my friends, the tailors, like Africa? Like wherever they are staying at? No. But God's will is above that. What do you think about God's word, God's command? I used to teach Sunday school, and I said, "Who wants to be a missionary?" No hands up, no hand. And finally, after a while, one hand came up. I said, "Johnny, I'm glad you want to be a missionary. Where do you want to be a missionary to?" "Well, as long as it's in Hawaii, I don't mind." See, we don't choose the place either. We don't choose the time. We don't choose the food. We just say, "Here am I, send me." That's why we had this other song. That was also about the Holy Spirit's guidance, "So Send I You." God is sending us. Are you willing to pray to God and say, "God, send me, no matter where, I'll go"? That's the kind of people that God is looking for today. You can't just say, "Oh, it's got to be in Hawaii." I know I have a good friend who, his company went IPO and he was instant millionaire. But he had prayed this prayer before. Then he became a millionaire. Then he decided that he was going to change all his vacation plans. instead of going to Hawaii or Tahiti or Caribbean, he would go to the mission field. Back then we were living in Houston, so he called me up. He said, "Got any plans for the later part of August?" I said, "No plan." He said, "I want to spend 2 weeks with you on mission trip in Louisiana and all these places." So we did. And later on, I went to pastor his church in San Jose. And there, I joined him again on a mission trip to Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma has got a lot of universities where there are a lot of Chinese students from mainland. So we spent the whole summer on campus, visiting the dorms, bringing the people to Christ. So there are many, many ways you can spread the gospel. To begin with, you can pray at home. You can give money. And then you can join a short term. There's a website under the Southern Baptist Convention, sbc.com or .org. You'll find there's this almost like a form you fill out. I like in the Far East, I like Southeast Asia, I can speak Chinese, I can speak English, I can speak French, I can speak Spanish, whatever language. I'm really healthy, I can hike, I can do construction work, or I'm really handy, or I'm not handy, I can't plug in a toaster, you know. But just fill it out, and then they'll respond to you. They say, "Okay, we need somebody like you who can't even plug in a plug of a toaster, but who can speak Mandarin." Or they say, "We'll need you. Come and join us." So your church may have one team, or your church may only have half a team. Or maybe you're the only one in the church who sign up for something like that, but you would join some other church as a team. In a church in San Diego that I pastored, we had a young man. He was like 13. And he joined the Southern Baptist summer program to Indian Reservation in Arizona. I remember back then when he was 13, he went and he said, "Open my eyes for my purpose of living." Now he's a Berkeley graduate. He's back in China. And the other day I got a call from a mother. She called me. She said, "Remember David?" I said, "Yeah, I remember David. David was 16. He was a 200 pounder. He went on a trip to Trinidad. Helped build houses because he was big, so he could build houses. When he came back, bare feet. We were at the airport meeting him, got a banner, 'Welcome back, David.' He said, 'What happened? What happened to your shoes?' He said, 'Well, I gave my shirt in the back, the shoes on my feet, to the natives there. I can't see how they live like that.' His $150 Nike, he gave it to the local boy. Today he's a dentist." I said, "You have always wanted to be a dentist." He said, "No." He said, "But after that trip to Trinidad, I saw the kind of teeth they have. They've never seen a dentist before. I wanted to become a dentist." So Christianity is not only something that you listen to, a sermon, some song you sing, a hymn. Is a change of life. It's got to change your life. It's got to change what you do, how you live, where you go. If it doesn't, Then if I ask how many are Christians, many raise their hands. But how many have had a changed life? I look around, I see no hand. And I'm saddened as I go from church to church as if I see that. But I'm excited when I see that we have a program called Mission Program, that we have a Sunday that we call Mission Sunday, that we have a fund that we call Mission Fund. I'm excited when I see young people giving themselves for the Lord, because the Bible says, therefore, brethren, I beseech you to give yourself as a living sacrifice. Who do you think we live for? Christ or the world? If it's the world, then we shouldn't be called the followers of Jesus. But it's not the world. It's Jesus. You know why we have to spread the gospel? Because Jesus died for us. And Jesus giving this command, the great commitment, the great commission, it's like a dying man says, would you go tell somebody I died for him? And if we forget to tell, or if we're too busy to tell, or if we're too lazy to tell, we're betraying Jesus. He has died in vain. He's dying, he's going to the cross. He has gone to the cross. He was buried. He resurrected. He did all that so that we may live a new life. When we look at the newspapers and watch the TV, we see the people in drugs and have divorced families, have no parents. All this is not because of uneducated, not because of poverty, not just because of drugs. These are related reasons, but they are not the root reason. The root reason is they're lost. When I was in Indonesia, after I preached 4 hours, I stood at the door and shook hands with everybody. And this is a building of this size, but it's got a lot of holes where people poke their heads in, so shaking hands is a big, big thing back then, because in Indonesia, Sunday night, you have to go to church. And then the pastor has to sign that you went to church. And then you take it to school Monday, and the teacher says, oh, okay, you went to church yesterday. Okay, that's fine. They used to ask the Muslims to sign, but now since there are churches now, so the church pastors do the things that the pastor of a Muslim church, I guess, I don't know what to call them. So I signed those. And then one guy gave me his kid's report card for me to sign. And then I signed it, I gave it back to the man. And I noticed he extended his hand for me to shake. But I didn't know how to shake his hand. You know why? Maybe you guessed it, no fingers. So I asked, I said, what happened to the fingers? He said, I chopped them off. I said, you crazy? He said, no, I tried to stop gambling, I tried to stop smoking, I couldn't, each time I failed, I chopped one off. I said, how come, have you stopped yet? He said, no. I said, then how come you still have two left? He said, that's because I accepted Jesus. So Jesus can change a person. When I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, one day it was raining hard and somebody pounded on the door. I said, what's going on? said, can I come in, Pastor? I said, yeah. I said, but we have no meeting on Wednesday morning. He said, no, I came over to pray. I said, are you a Christian? He said, no. I said, what are you going to pray for? He said, I'm going to pray that God will stop my gambling. He said, I came from mainland China. I came here to work in a restaurant. I work 6 days a week. And then I gamble all my money away. So even though I promised my mother I would send home to mainland China some money, I'm not sending her any money. But now this person is in the church, worshiping God, sending money regularly to home. So Christians ought to spread the gospel because the gospel changed lives. Everyone needs to spread the gospel at all times, be it in season or out of season. This is in 2 Timothy. Sometimes we feel that, oh, this is not the time for me. I'm too busy making money. I'm too busy studying. But let me tell you, the Bible says, be it in season or out of season, we have to spread the gospel. And you can spread the gospel when you think it's inconvenient. I know every time I'm very tired, sometimes on an airplane, God will seat me next to somebody who needs the gospel. I remember one time I was in a coffee shop on the counter drinking some coffee. Somebody seemed very busy working on papers next to me. I said, okay, I can have a quiet cup of coffee now. Later on, I pull out of a small Bible just to check on some verse. This guy looked over. I said, pardon me, what are you reading? I said, oh, I'm reading my Bible. He said, may I talk to you for a minute? I said, yeah. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yes. He said, I have a lot of problems. Can I pour it down? Can I unload it on you? So he unloaded a cup of coffee into an hour and a half of misery. But then finally when he left, he said, thanks, Pastor, that's just what I needed. I know what to do now. With my wife, with my kids, I need to turn around and bring them back to the Lord. Do you guys know Jie Jiwei? Xie Zhiwei. A young man from Hong Kong went to UCLA, went to med school, became a chief physician at a 100-doctor Jewish hospital. He left God after a while. And he was so miserable, he decided he was going to commit suicide. And he went to Hong Kong to see his old friend. His old friend said, no, don't do that. You should come back to the Lord. But to make it short, he was the only person I know that would go to Paris for a meal. He was so crazy because he's got so much money that he thought there was some way that he can fill his emptiness. So he did a lot of crazy things. He tried the drugs, he tried the liquor. Finally, to make it short, he came back to the Lord, and today he's a seminary professor in Vancouver, going back and forth into China to spread the gospel. Why does he do that? He does that because he can change life with the gospel that he has, that we have. I think my time is up. The conclusion is, Jesus has died for us, and we need to spread the gospel. If you are deciding what major to specialize in, whether it's physics, whether it's econ, whether it's finance, after a PhD or BS or BA or MBA, or after some certification like a CPA, I ask you to consider be a mission-minded Christian. Mission-minded Christian doesn't mean to be a missionary, but to be a mission-minded Christian. You may be a teacher, maybe a housewife, because without that, you are incomplete as a Christian. Shabbat. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to commit ourselves into Thy hands. We hear about the good news that Jesus has died for us, that He has resurrected for us, that today we have the new life. But there are still so many people that haven't had it yet. Maybe they are our neighbors, maybe our schoolmates, maybe our colleagues who don't know Christ yet. And it is up to us to spread the gospel. Maybe we can participate through giving, through short-term mission, through working in the church, through teaching Sunday school. So that our neighborhood will have more and more influence of Jesus Christ. So that our schools will have more influence about Jesus Christ. I pray that Thy words will change our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'm going to give the call. I think, is Margaret going to sing one verse? Or? Yeah. Okay. And then I ask the people to come forward.
Let's sing a song, 462. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I was also two times short-term mission too. So if you go and just tell, I tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed His name to bear. Let's sing both verses. Start with one and then you can come up. Shall we stand, please? To be your music director is my mission. I was really struggled the whole week because after I heard that Micah is coming back, and I said, I don't know what my position here will be because, oh, you know, he also do music with the youth. But I thank God with your message today. I thank God for me. I think I still would stay because I was struggling the whole week. But I know God wants to use me more. So please pray for me. Also, church, pray for me.
And I want you to use her completely. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit will lead her. Help her to sing to more and more people who need the Lord. And we can hear the heavenly angels singing and echoing with her. That God's heart will be satisfied. And bless her and her family, and touch the people through her voice, through her ministry, and through her testimonies. We commit her into thy hands. Help her to walk as if she leaps and bounds. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Let's sing the second verse, and if you have other dedication, come up.